All right, some thoughts on the trade deadline as we get a little bit closer. I alluded to this a couple of days ago when we did our David Stearns Rico. I did a little bit of a deep dive. I did two deep dives. One was stolen by Steve Gelbs on the SNY broadcast because earlier on Evan and Tiki, I had mentioned how, and it was at the very end of the show, a caller brought up how he doesn't trust David Stearns. And he thinks David Stearns is going to screw up the trade deadline. And what I reminded this caller was that trade deadlines for the selling team usually suck. It does. You usually don't walk away with incredible returns. You can use our own history as a guide. Like, other than Zach Wheeler for Carlos Beltran, which is an all-timer, we don't usually walk away with amazing returns. And teams don't usually walk away with amazing returns. So the trade deadline, and Steve Gelbs used this word, it's a word I like to use a lot too, it's lottery tickets. So you can't screw up when you're just buying a bunch of lottery tickets. That's what the history of selling at the trade deadline means. Now, can sometimes you get lucky? Sometimes will you find the diamond in the rough on a sell deal? Absolutely. It's not impossible. It's just unlikely. And if you think back to our more recent foray into selling, 2023, we were all excited about how Steve Cohen was willing to absorb so much money of Scherzer and Verlander and how it would enhance the prospects. Well, what are those prospects? Luis Angel Acuña was a bench player who ends up getting traded for Luis Robert Jr. And the pieces they got for Justin Verlander, I mean, we're still waiting on Ryan Clifford. We have no idea. And Drew Gilbert was already shipped away. So keep in mind that the deadline doesn't necessarily give you great returns. But I want to get to David Stearns specifically. David Stearns, according to my research, has made really three sell-off trades. He made two in 2016 and one in 2022. The one in 2022 gets the most attention because they were in first place when they made the sell-off trade, so it's kind of weird that they would do it. But that was the infamous Josh Hader trade. They were 57-45. They were three games up in the NL Central, and they traded Josh Hader to the San Diego Padres. Is it a sell-off? It is, in terms of taking a guy on that level and trading it away for prospects. It's not in that they weren't out of it. But I want you to notice the pattern on the three trades. I'm going to go through it real quick that David Stearns has made in his sell-off history. When he traded Josh Hader to San Diego, he got back Taylor Rogers, who was a 31-year-old reliever. We know Taylor Rogers, Tyler's brother. Esturi Ruiz, Robert Gasser, and Dinelson Lamet. Lamet was basically waived right away, so forget him. Robert Gasser is currently in the Brewer rotation. And Esturi Ruiz was used during the offseason to be traded in a three-team deal for William Contreras, who is currently the all-star starting catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. So I can't even say that trade was a disaster. I mean, it was in the short term, but one of the prospects was used in another trade that has worked out for Milwaukee. In 2016, he sold off Will Smith to the San Francisco Giants, got back Phil Bickford, who ended up pitching for the Mets. He spent 5 years in the minor leagues, was taken off waivers, so he turned out to be nothing. And Andrew Susak, who at the time was a major league catcher. So not much to speak of on the Will Smith trade. And then the other big one was in 2016, when the Texas Rangers acquired Jonathan Lucroy and Jeremy Jeffress. In return, David Stearns got Luis Ortiz, Lewis Brinson, and Ryan Cordell. But I'll tell you something funny about those three prospects. Luis Ortiz, later that year, was traded for Jonathan Scope. Lewis Brinson, during the offseason, was a part of the package that got back Christian Yelich. And Ryan Cordell, a year later, was traded for a reliever named Anthony Swarzak, who also pitched for the Mets. So what do we learn from this brief, somewhat boring exercise? David Stearns is going to trade these prospects. Don't fall in love with who he gets back, because according to the records, four of the nine guys that David Stearns acquired in sell-off trades got traded themselves a year later. So we've heard that as a thought, that David Stearns may do that, that the Mets are looking to compete in 2027. So the young players they get back may just be used as trade chips. David Stearns' history tells us that. Now, what does Met history tell us as we look at the history of the New York Mets selling guys off? I'm going to use 1992 as the line of demarcation. That was my first year of watching Met baseball. They traded David Cone to the Toronto Blue Jays for future Hall of Famer Jeff Kent and Ryan Thompson. That was my first ever sell-off trade. I love David Cone. I wish he was a career Met. It's weird. They got back a future Hall of Famer, and Jeff Kent was good for the Mets for a couple of years. He was. He was a good Met. So not a terrible return, but Ryan Thompson was actually considered the prize of that deal. In 95, they traded Brett Saberhagen for Juan Acevedo and two other prospects. Juan Acevedo kind of turned into a halfway decent reliever, but not really much more than that. They traded Bobby Bonilla for Alex Ochoa and Damian Buford. Alex Ochoa, I think Alex Ochoa was the first time I heard five-tool player, and it did not work out. They traded Roberto Alomar in 2003 for reliever Royce Ring. They got a few other guys in that deal, but Royce Ring was the key. And I remember when Royce Ring made his major league debut, or his debut with the Mets, I was stupefied by how soft he threw. I thought the Mets were getting, this is the time before, you know, YouTube and whatnot. I thought they were getting like this hotshot reliever. They got a guy in Royce Ring who was a soft tossing lefty. They dumped off Jeremy Burnitz in 2003. They got back Victor Diaz, who we loved briefly. They traded Armando Benitez to the Yankees. They got back Jason Anderson. Never made it. They dumped Ray Sanchez. They dumped Graham Lloyd. All those guys, their returns, never made the major leagues. We mentioned Beltran for Wheeler. That's an all-timer. Lucas Duda for Drew Smith. I brought that up on the air. That was what I said Steve Gilbs ripped me off on. Because that's the one trade-off in the post-Beltran trade where they got somebody who made the majors. And nobody loves Drew Smith. We spent so much time on the Rico talking about getting rid of him. They dealt off Addison Reed for Steven Nogosek. They dumped Jay Bruce for Ryder Ryan. They traded Curtis Granderson for Jacob Rehm. They traded Neil Walker for Eric Hanhold. And then obviously the more recent trades, we mentioned Scherzer and Verlander. David Robertson for Marco Vargas and Ronald Hernandez, still in the minor leagues. Tommy Pham for Gerald Perez. Mark Canna for Luis De La Cruz. You guys see the pattern. Do not get your hopes up on what the Mets acquire when they dump players out. Now, you can hope that David Stearns is going to find a diamond in the rough, or you can hope that the prospects he gets are built up enough that he's going to turn around and trade them during the winter for other pieces that can help. But selling season is depressing because it's officially, you know, throwing in the white flag, but you're not usually getting prime prospects. You're just not. And who knows, maybe this little exercise in history is going to convince people to not want to see them trade Clay Holmes and Luke Weaver. Luke Weaver is a little bit more complicated because he'd be on the team. I guess the argument for not trading Luke Weaver would be this. If you trade Luke Weaver and you get back middling prospects, we just went through the names, are you spending the offseason trying to acquire a guy like Luke Weaver? And if the answer is yes, then just keep him. You know what I mean? Or if you believe enough in some of the arms in your system, and you're not going to be going balls to the wall to try to trade or acquire a guy like Luke Weaver, then take out the lottery ticket and try to get as much as you can.
Do you think, I think it's stupid, but there was that one offseason where the Mets went and got, or trade deadline, excuse me, where the Mets went and got Marcus Stroman at the deadline. And everyone's like, what the hell are you doing that for? Like, you're not winning this year, but it was a next year move. We're going to offload. I saw somewhere between 6 to 10 trades the Mets are going to make. I mean, is that something that is even possible to, like, make a trade for someone who is actually going to impact next year?
It depends who it is. I don't hear about anybody that makes sense, though. Like, I haven't heard of, in terms of trade rumors, guys who are signed for next year who really make a lot of sense in that regard. So, as of now, the answer is no. The well, Mets have the guys who would do that. Like, Luke Weaver, Oscar Brasman, guys who were signed, or Francisco Alvarez. Like, the Mets have the guys that they may trade that would fit that. I don't see guys like that out there.
The only person I see that I think is a impact piece for next year is was it Emerson Hancock from the Mariners?
Yes,
that is a significant piece. If that's
I agree.
I just don't know what they want.
I think that if you trade, you know, I don't know. Seattle's always a team you think about because they always seem to have surplus of starting pitching. Do you take back Luis Castillo for a piece that helps them now? I don't know. It depends what you're sending back. I just think that's very unlikely. I mean, it could happen, but it's very unlikely. We've seen the Mets do it, though. Like, I just went through their history of selling. They have bought in bad years. They bought Chris Benson in a bad year. They bought Marcus Stroman. You brought that up in a bad year. So sometimes they've done the buying, obviously not for the short term, but for the following seasons. And I would argue Victor Zambrano, Chris Benson, Marcus Stroman, they didn't exactly work out. Those aren't examples that you want to cite necessarily.
No.